You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chatton from Gardnerville, Nevada, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 10th, 2025, episode 3709. Good morning, Horse World!
When your start time's on Saturday and your finish time's on Sunday, and it doesn't get much better than best conditioned, and completing the challenge is the challenge, you're an endurance rider.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this endurance episode. And we have a fun show planned for you today. What are we going to be talking about in your endurance tip?
Well, today I'm going to talk about reading signals that your horse sends.
Oh, okay. Like telepathically or?
sort of. You need to learn to read those signals that they send you because they can be vitally important and sometimes they're very subtle.
All right. Very good. We'll talk. And that's especially important when you're on a long trail ride or endurance competition with your horse. So we're going to be doing that. And then we're also going to be taking a look at a show that's out west. What's that one?
It's the Hat Creek Hustle Endurance Ride, and it's going to be a two-day ride this year. This ride was first brought back last year after a long hiatus, and it's kind of an older ride, and it's nice to see it back. It takes place on parts of the Pacific Crest Trail, and it's in a forest, and it's just a lovely ride, and we're going to be talking to the ride manager. For that ride.
I wonder what the thru hikers on the Pacific Crest Trail think that particular day when they keep running into all these horses.
I've had that happen, and I don't know who's more surprised, the hikers, especially the thru hikers with the big packs on,
yeah.
Or the horses that think they're aliens. It's always interesting for everybody.
Well, and we wanted to acknowledge our East Coast friends. We tried to get some people on, what, from the ride in Maine, right?
Well, because the shore-to-shore ride, this is going to be their final year, and it's a point-to-point ride, and I know a lot of people are heading out to go to it from all across the country this year. So we wish them well, and hope you guys all going have a safe trip and really great ride.
Yeah, we weren't able to work out timing to get the guest on, but maybe after whoever's riding it, I know some of our Northeast people will be riding it. Let us know, and we'll have somebody on that road that let us know. Just email Karen at karen@horseradionetwork.com and let her know that you rode it, and then we'll get you on after. That'd be perfect. So you've been having a heck of a job. All I keep seeing is posts about your feet.
I know. Can you believe? But looking at the comments, you know, I thought I was kind of alone or in this small segment, but I'm not. There's a lot of horse riders and endurance riders that have problems with their feet.
Well, no kidding. You're in the stirrups. I mean, if you're in the stirrups for as long as you're in the stirrups, I mean, you would imagine that would be the case.
Right. After decades and decades and decades. Exactly.
And tens of thousands of miles. As Jennifer said, in one race, you actually ride more than most people do in a year.
Probably so. Yeah. I get it.
So what's all right? So you have the usual. So, what is going on?
Yeah, this is the latest episode of My Feet Hate Me. So I've been moonlighting as my own physical therapist. The orthopedist told me I have metatarsalgia and plantar fasciitis. Oh. So my feet definitely. They start screaming at me after about 35 to 40 miles into a 50. So I have some physical therapy sessions scheduled, And once I get through all of that, because of the insurance, you've got to navigate through it and do it their way and go through the system. They've already denied one MRI. My primary says, once I go to the PT, then we will reapply again and it should be approved. So then they can look at the nerves and find out more details about any additional trauma that's been done to my feet.
Does it hurt when if you're sitting or only when you're standing in the stirrups?
You know, once it reaches that point, it's just on fire and there's really nothing at that point during the ride. There's not much I can do. My one doctor told me I could take Tylenol and Aleve together. No, I can't. My stomach rebelled and said, no, you can't take those two together. And they don't really do anything for nerve pain anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, they might dull the pain a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And so getting through this, it's just, you know, it's tough. But I'm doing my own, like I said, my own PT. So I'm doing all the things I need to be doing. I did go and get a shockwave treatment. I've been doing PEMF, TENS machine, massage. I'm wearing this boots at night that make you feel like you're a stormtrooper.
Oh, that's sexy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Exactly. It's like I need to sleep in a tent because you can't turn around or move.
If you added a CPAP machine to that, then you'd be really...
Oh, my God. And God forbid you need to get up to use the restroom during the night. You're like, this is ridiculous.
Your husband must be so excited.
Oh, my God. I tell you. So, but I'm hoping all these things I'm doing are working. I am doing better. You know, I've bought some, you know, custom orthotics and special shoes. So I'm looking forward.
This getting old thing sucks, doesn't it, Karen?
It sure does. But I'm not giving in yet. I'm going to keep, you know, I want to keep riding 50s, you know, so I'm going to keep going. And my next ride is next weekend on June 14th at the NASTAR ride at Washoe Lake. So I'm going to be ready for
You're
that.
You're doing a 50
so
in that one?
The plan. I did it last year, and that was the ride where my friend's horse went off the mountain with her. And it all turned out good. We're hoping for a better outcome this year for both of us.
You know, there is a solution to this problem with your feet, is to just go stirrupless. You know, that is the solution, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Or just stay home in the hot tub.
Yeah, there, that
that's
too.
Exactly.
So I'm reading, this is really applies to you guys. It applies to anybody showing horses, but I mean, when you're doing a, you know, 3-minute jumping round is different than doing what you're doing. So, you know, I've been reading all and everybody's predicting the hottest summer ever. Like last year was certainly our hottest summer here in Florida. So what do you do to prepare and train for that?
Well, with heat training, you basically just have to get out in the heat and train.
Yeah.
There's no real easy way around it. And it really does make a difference for the horse. All of the years I did Tevis, especially on Bo, I got out there and we both worked and it made a difference in his recoveries. And I think it, you know, it helps the rider too. You know, I have friends that drive around all summer leading up to Tevis with no air conditioning on.
That doesn't help the horse. It helps you.
but if you, you know, help yourself, you help your horse. You know, it's a two-way street.
I guess that's why so many people that live up north head into Tevis early, because they can't, you know, it's not real hot up there yet. So they have to go someplace where it's hotter to train.
Exactly. So it's you know, you got to be dedicated, because as most of us get older, we become less heat tolerant. So we have to learn how to manage that better. So I'm learning how to, you know, drink more electrolytes, stay hydrated ahead of time, and just take care of myself even more than I used to when I was younger. It's vitally important to do that so that I can take care of my horse. But it's also important to get him prepared ahead of time. You know, the last 50 we did out at High Desert last month, it was in the 90s. And we both got through it in pretty good shape, other than me wanting to cut my foot off. It was great.
So, and I assume, you know, it's a stereotype that obviously the Arabs do better in the heat. Is it true, though? I mean, do they do better in the heat?
You know, yes and no. You know, there's always individuals that do better than others in every breed. Right, so there's some Arabs that aren't going to do well in the heat. And then, but a lot of it does come down to doing your homework and being prepared for that. It's tougher, I feel, in my region, because I'm more up north and at 5,000 elevation, going into early spring hot weather if we haven't clipped our horses, because they still have winter coats. Mm. So we have to be really careful of that. Although right now, I think between and since the last ride and now, my horse, he's really sleek and he's shedded out quite nice. So that's going to be a big help too.
Speaking of which, before we get to your training tip, I wanted to, you got a new toy.
I did, for Jovi.
What'd you
get? And I got a tracker for him that he wears around his neck. And
what kind is it?
It's an FI or FI. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's just two letters, FI. And if you mention it or search for tracker on Facebook, you'll soon see their ads. They'll be popping up all the time. And so it's Costco has it, and it came with like a 14-month plan. It works out to like $11 a month, so it's very affordable.
Does it work off of Wi-Fi, or what's it do?
It works off of the cell towers and GPS satellites. So
is there a monthly fee, or are you just connecting through your phone? And
You connect through your phone, but the monthly fee is included. Like, so it's like $149, including the tracker and the collar and the subscription for 14 months. So like I said, it works out to like $11 a month.
And what have you found?
And so I have found that Jovi moves around on the property between about 11 and 13 miles every 24 hours.
How big is your property anyway?
It's I've got my neighbor's acre and then my acre where they have about, I don't know.
So they're only out on like 2 acres and he still moves 11 to 13 miles
because he's chasing everybody around. But when you think about how fast they walk and how much they move every hour, it adds up.
That'd be interesting to see different breeds, and, you know, that'd be an interesting study to do. That's cool.
Right. Yeah, he chases there. And then last night I took the 5-year-old out off the property for a walk on the trail. And Jovi did about 15,000 steps. So now that's my plan to
get more exercise.
I can exercise two horses at once because the third horse is at a trainer right now. So now I've only have two. So when one leaves, the other one is alone. So it's a whole different thing when they're home alone versus when they have a buddy. So I'm getting the 2-for-1, getting them both exercised at once.
And getting their vocals exercised as well.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure the whole neighborhood heard him bellowing last night.
Yeah, we have the same problem here when we take Scooter away from either of the other two. Everybody goes nuts. I'll put a link to that FI tracker in our show notes for today's episode if somebody wants to take a look at getting one. But you know what? Our title sponsor is the Arabian Horse Association, and the Arabian horse was born in the desert, built for endurance and heat, and proven on the trail. Each year, we celebrate this legacy at Distance Nationals, where riders of all levels come together for an unforgettable competition. This year, we're heading to Old Salem Ride Site in New Centerville, Idaho. Join us for the National Championship Rides and Open Rides, all showcasing the heart and stamina of the Arabian horse. If you're ready to ride, learn more at ArabianHorses.org. That's ArabianHorses.org. All right, now time for the endurance tip. What are we talking about?
All right. It's especially important, especially if you're kind of new to the sport or new to horses in general, to learn your horse's baseline behavior before an event. So during a ride, check these signals at vet checks during the ride, before and after the ride, of course. Trust your instincts. If something feels off, don't push through. Put your horse's health as a priority and have a fun time. So 10 signals to watch for during an endurance ride. The first one, pinned ears. Ears flattened back often signal discomfort, stress, or irritation. If your horse
or there's a bear on the trail in front of you, something.
Exactly. Or they're a mare, or yeah, they're a gelding, or they're a stallion, you know, whatever. They can do that, you know. So if they have their ears pinned back consistently, they might be in pain or annoyed by something in the environment, tack or another horse. So you want to pay
alive.
Attention. Or they're just alive. That's true. I mean, it could be bugs bothering them. They could be signaling to you that they're just about ready to double barrel kick somebody that's tailgated too close behind you. So, you know,
you're
about
ready
to
do a 180
signals
and leave you behind.
That's true. Like you said, maybe they know there's a bear ahead, or in Jovi's case, a potbelly pig. So, although in his case, he's snorting, or which leads me to number two, heavy breathing or flaring nostrils. So labored breathing or excessive nostril flaring, especially at rest stops, can indicate fatigue or overheating. You want to monitor the recovery time after exertion and, you know, keep an eye on that. You know, if every other horse is also heavy breathing at a vet check, maybe you all just climbed a steep hill and it's hot and they just need a couple minutes to come down and recover. But
this,
but if you're,
this may be a dumb question, but do you practice vet checks? When, you know, if you're doing practice rides, do you stop and then, you know, in your practice see how he's coming down and stuff?
Oh, yes. Always on training rides, we'll stop. I'll carry a little baggie of feed with me and we'll stop and get off. And especially if there's water, you know, let him eat or graze, check the recoveries, just make sure everything's okay. Practice. And then when we get back, I do a practice vet check on the younger horses that haven't been through it yet, where we do the practice, go through the whole thing, checking the gums and the skin and trotting them out. It's always good to practice, 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 practice.
Okay.
Okay. Third is slowing your pace or reluctance to move. If your horse lags, hesitates, or resists moving forward, it could mean they're tired, sore, or experiencing hoof discomfort. If you're in a group, be sure to read your horse and ride your own ride. Don't get caught up in the group.
It's so hard to do sometimes.
Oh my gosh. Tell me about it, because sometimes breaking away from the group makes it worse.
Yeah,
then they're going to have heavy breathing and flaring nostrils.
Exactly.
They turn into a dinosaur you're like, I don't recognize this horse. And number four, tail swishing excessively. Constant or aggressive tail swishing may suggest irritation, pain, like from ill-fitting tack, or frustration, especially during transitions or climbs. Or, like I mentioned before, bugs can cause tail swishing. Or maybe the horse doesn't like its saddle pad or girth. But a lot of times that excessive tail swishing is a sign that something's bothering them.
Okay.
And number five, head tossing or shaking. Frequent head tossing can indicate discomfort from the bit, saddle, or even fatigue. Check your tack and watch for patterns. And one of the things I had a horse head shaking once for was he had grown a point in his teeth. He wasn't quite yet due yet to have his teeth done that year, but I took him in right after that ride, and that's what was causing it.
You know, we had the same problem. We had the dentist mm-hmm. out yesterday for my pony, and that was the same thing. He had broken a tooth, and he was shaking his head when we try and work with him to do anything.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they're telling you stuff with these signals. Okay, number six, tripping or stumbling. Occasional tripping can happen, but frequent stumbling can signal fatigue, uneven terrain issues, hoof problems, you know, or in some horses, it could mean that they're aging and getting some arthritis.
And not something you want to do on a single track on the side of a mountain is trip a lot.
Definitely not. No, you don't like those trippers that do that often. Yeah, you want to try to solve that. Number seven is sweating patterns. Excessive sweating, uneven sweat patches, or no sweating and hot conditions can point to dehydration or overheating. Monitor closely at vet checks.
Okay.
Number eight, lethargy or dull expression. A horse that seems checked out with droopy eyes or a lack of alertness may be exhausted or dehydrated compared to their usual demeanor. I mean, you can tell a lot by looking at a horse's eye. Number nine, refusing food or water. This one's really an important one. If your horse doesn't want to drink or eat at the water stops or ignores the hay and feed at vet checks, it could indicate stress, colic risk, or metabolic issues. Encourage slow sibs and notify a vet if it persists. Sometimes you've got to learn your horse. They need for you to spend an extra couple of minutes at a water stop. So you need to learn to teach your horse that it's okay if other horses leave. You can't expect everybody to sit around and wait for you all day. But sometimes spending a little extra time, even if you need to get off, walk your horse around and come back to the water trough or the creek a couple times, it can help them relax and then encourage them to drink. The same thing at a vet check. The horse isn't really interested in food. Maybe they're more interested in what else is going on in the vet check. And that's where you need to learn what's normal for your horse. If your horse is normally a hoover and all of a sudden he's not interested in the food, that's a really important sign to pay attention to.
I imagine dehydration for the rider and the horse is probably one of the most common things that happens on an endurance ride.
Yes. Probably so. Yeah. And the 10th sign is altered gait or lameness. Any change in the stride, like shortening steps or limping, suggests potential soreness or injury. So you want to pull up, check your horse over, consult a vet at the next stop. And if there's something wrong and it happens out on the trail, you need to get off and lead your horse rather than stay on him if they're sore, especially if they're limping and you want to check all their feet, make sure they don't have a rock stuck or something like that, something that's, simple that you can fix and then go on your merry way. But you do want to pay attention to any changes in stride or if something doesn't feel right, it often, it isn't. And if they're giving you a sign, then, you got to start to pay attention to those signs. It's super important.
Well, one of the things that you have to worry about too, before an endurance ride or before or after, is what you feed your horse. And Sentinel is the horse feed trusted by champion equestrians, veterinarians, and world-class breeders. They count on its expertly crafted extruded formulations to meet the specific nutritional needs of their horses. And you can too. Just visit feedsentinel.com/findmyfeed and answer a few questions about your horse, and you'll be guided to the feed that best fits their needs. With Sentinel's full line of 100% extruded feed, you'll find the perfect fit for your horse no matter their age or activity level. Get started today at feedsentinel.com/findmyfeed. And we actually interviewed them about the extruded feed and why that really works in last month's episode. So if you missed that, go back and take a listen. Coming up next, we have Kristen from the Distance Depot.
Hey, good morning, Kristen. It's good to hear from you this morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing just fine.
Oh, good. So tell us, what do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, I thought since we're in springtime, and I don't know about you, but grass is growing like crazy. We're mowing like mad over here from all the rain we're having. And so I thought we'd talk about the thin line, flexible, filly, slow feed grazing muzzle. That's a big mouthful. But if you don't know about this grazing muzzle, it's amazing. I had one of those old, unfortunately, I had a horse. I had to put a grazing muzzle on in New England. I never had to do that. But here in the Midwest, we have that brome, and it is just filled with sugar. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I put that old black bucket type grazing muzzle on him, and he marched himself out to the grass, put his head down and went, I can't eat out of this thing. Stood there. He looked so pitiful. I said, okay, I can't watch this. So I tried this flexible filly slow feed grazing muzzle by Thinline, and it's super soft. It's lightweight, very breathable. So he walked right over to the water tank, drank out of the water tank. I mean, just really comfortable. And you can enlarge. There's a little hole in the bottom, of course, for them. and you can make the hole the size you need it to be. So it starts out little teeny tiny, but you can make it bigger. Of course, it comes in sizes for ponies and horses and warm bloods, drafts, big horses. So you order the size. We have a video which shows you how to attach it to the halter. We actually make a halter out of the beta biothane that accommodates the little zip ties in the front portion of the nose, but it can go around any halter. So pretty user-friendly, lots of adjustment for all situations. So it's a great, great product if you have a horse that's in the situation of needing a muzzle.
Oh, good. And how would somebody get in touch with you?
Well, they can give us a call toll-free, 866-863-2349, or find us on thedistancedepot.com.
Well, our next guest this morning is Sid Fairbanks, and Sid is the ride manager for the popular Hat Creek Hustle Ride. Like I mentioned earlier, it was brought back last year after a few year hiatus. So this is going to be the second year that Sid is now managing the ride again. And it's now a 2-day ride and it is in Northern California, West region. So thank you, Sid, for joining us. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Karen.
Well, what can you tell us about the Hat Creek Hustle?
So the Hat Creek is in the Lassen National Forest, which is a huge, huge national forest right by the volcano. Lassen is a volcano that last erupted in 1905. Nice and dormant now. So
I was
going to
say, if you don't
there.
Have a Mount Etna going on during your ride, that would be bad.
Right, right. Like it would probably make for some cool pictures, but not what any of us want.
We're waving at the photographer while the volcano's blowing up in the background.
Right. But yeah, like there's thousands of acres of old growth forest up there. It's gorgeous. Bonus for a summer ride, it's 20 degrees cooler than the valley. So for our August date, it's going to be really nice up there.
Right. And so it's August 23rd and 24th. And what distances do you have?
We have an LD and a 50 both day. We're still finalizing whether those LDs are going to be 25s or 30s. I'm actually camping up there with my co-manager, Joe, who's also our head vet, and we'll be finalizing our trails based on landowner permissions, which has been a little snafu for this year, but we've got it straightened out. We're good to go.
Oh, good. Good. And so tell us more about the trail.
It's a lot of a combination of single track trail. We do have you on the Pacific Crest Trail for a while, which is beautiful and a super fun trail to ride. It's not really technical and it's not a lot of climbing. We are at a little bit of elevation. We try to keep folks off of the forest roads, but even those, like sometimes we have to, it's unavoidable, but we try to make sure it's at least ones where you can get off to the side of the road. So considering it's a volcanic area, it's definitely a hoof protection ride. But we got a lot of compliments last year on the good footing, and that's something we both ride barefoot, so it's something that we're always very conscious of, whether your horse is shod or booted. The best footing that we can give you is what we're going for.
Good. Yes, I thought it was really good footing last year.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's definitely something that we're proud of.
But I am from Nevada, so I have a warped sense of what rocky
is. Right. What we think is rocky is not what you think is rocky.
Exactly. It was great. I loved all that single track. It was terrific. It was really nice. And so tell us more about the ride. Like, what is base camp like? And do you offer any meals?
So we do offer, it's going to be either lunch or dinner. We're still looking at our options on that, but there will be a meal included with your ride entry, and then extras available for purchase. Ride camp is a dry lot. We have porta potties in there. There's a creek for water, and obviously we provide plenty of horse water. That's not an issue. It's nice and shaded. So even though like it can still get warm there, like it's not as hot as it would be down in Redding, but having the shade is always really nice. And there's plenty of parking, lots of open space. Yeah, it can be a little challenging to find. You're going to be wanting to follow. We do mark the road to camp as well, because we're about a mile off of the main road. And last year we had an issue where the porta potty delivery guy couldn't find us and we were out marking trail and he just abandoned the porta potties like partway to ride camp. And turns out that two girls in a horse trailer can move three porta potties if you need to.
That's the lovely fun of ride management, right?
The things we didn't expect to find ourselves doing. It's a learning curve for sure.
Exactly. So I found some fun facts about Hat Creek, which turned out to be quite a bit more than I thought. I knew the area had some fun history, like that Hat Creek got its name from a surveyor who lost his hat.
Yes, he lost his hat in the creek, and the name kind of stuck. Like, oh, it's the creek where you lost his hat.
How literal can you get?
Right.
Exactly. So, and it's also SETI's, which is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, Cosmic Hub. So there's an observatory there.
I didn't know that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're scanning the skies for extraterrestrial signals. So while we're riding, the aliens might be watching us.
Oh, goodness.
I know.
You didn't actually forget your stirrup leather. The aliens took it. Got it.
Well, exactly. Or maybe they're affecting your horse, turning your horse into acting stupid or something.
Right. Yes.
I know.
It's not race brain. It's extraterrestrial activity.
Exactly. So there's a lot of fun history there, long, long history with the geologic origins because of the volcano. There was a war called the Sagebrush Roar War in 1863. You know, the area is really popular for recreation. So if people want to come to this ride, the riders can ride. And if they've got family or friends with them, there's fishing, all sorts of other stuff, you know, sightseeing. There is a cave, which I thought was kind of cool, that's made from like the volcano, and it's like a third of a mile, and it's only like a mile and a half from camp. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that other people might want to go check out while they're there for the ride.
Yeah, there's also a short drive away. There's a really cool waterfall that I personally haven't been to yet. It's on my list of things to do when we're not busy working on trails. But my family came to visit when I rode the ride a few years ago when Lisa Chadwick was still running it. And they said that it was a beautiful area to visit. And that was really close by. So folks wanting other things to do while in the area, I highly recommend that.
Right, right. And so that cave is called the Subway Cave. And it's a one-third mile lava tube. So that sounds kind of an interesting thing to go check out.
It really does.
Yeah. So, but yeah, your ride is, I can attest, it's a lot of fun. And the trails are really nice. And so what did you think overall about your first year of ride managing?
It's a lot. Fortunately, we had some really great help. Rob Lydon and his wife, Jana, who started the ride back in, I think, 2008, maybe. Well, they actually cornered us at a rainy vet check at Cache Creek, where there's nowhere else to go. Be careful talking to Rob, because you'll get talked into taking over an endurance ride. But they both jumped in and were hugely helpful to us last year, both with learning the good loops for the trails. And then Alicia, who used to put on the Wild West ride in Nevada City and now does Hung Country Hustle in South Carolina, has been completely instrumental in helping us with just like all the little things that you might not have thought of. And, you know, just how much ribbon you're going to be tying onto clothespins. So it's definitely a team effort. Like, I'm listed as the ride manager, but Joe is our main trails person down there, since she's actually local, not two states away. But yeah, between the amazing volunteers that we have and even like riders jumping in to help out was amazing. And it's been a really fun experience, which is why even after moving away, I'm still happy to come back and help put it on.
Great. So when are you going to have the ride entries available, and do you need volunteers?
We would love to have some volunteers. Ride entries will be going out once we've confirmed this weekend if we're doing 25s or 30s, just so I can make sure I have correct mileage on there and make sure everything's all set up. So they should be available the end of next week. And we always welcome volunteers, and we'll feed you, we'll give you some swag, and come hang out in the forest with us.
Great. Well, good luck on your ride. I hope I can make it this year. I'm planning on it. So, and thank you for being a ride manager.
Thank you. And we'd love to see you again.
Are you running low on essentials in the barn? Chewy's got you covered, from feed and supplements to stable supplies and even medications. Get everything your horse needs delivered fast and free for orders over $49. I know Jennifer used them for our vaccines this time. No more last-minute feed.
Chewy.
Yeah, no more last-minute feed runs or searching for your favorites. Just easy, reliable delivery straight to your barn. Get all of your favorite brands like Tribute, Cosequin, Farnam, Ulster Guard, and hundreds more. Shop now at chewy.com/equine and get more time back to be with your horse and less time shopping. I like that. For low prices and for fast shipping, there's Chewy. Chewy.com/equine. Well, that's it for today. You know, the rides are happening all over the country right now. Where do people find them?
To AARC.org, look up the ride calendar, and you'll see several different rides. I also want to mention that Tevis is coming up on July 12th
next
this
month.
Year. Mm-hmm. And for those that are doing the virtual Tevis, you have until, I think it's 5:15 a.m., it'll be July 13th, which is the cutoff for the finish of Tevis, for you to finish your virtual Tevis miles. So get out there and do your rides, walks, drives, jogs, whatever it is you signed up for, however you signed up to do it. Go get those miles in.
I wonder how we're doing. I haven't heard an update in a week about the Horse Radio Network team. So we were leading for a while, and you've been a big help to that, by the way. So
yes, we've been in first or second place. We're competing against another team that has many, many
Stacey
more riders. I know.
We love
Stacey. We'll do our best. Yes, we'll do our best to keep up. We're doing pretty good.
I mean, we're against one of the biggest superstars in the horse world. So, I mean, there's that. But yeah, Stacey used to have a show here on the network for a while. So I know Stacey really well. And, you know, she has very dedicated fans. But we do too, damn it. So, you know, we're doing all right. Good job, guys. Well done. And you can find today's guests and links to everything we talked about in the show notes right there on your podcast player. And, of course, you can find us at horsesinthemorning.com. Where can they find you, Karen?
Go to my name, KarenChatton.com.
KarenChatton.com. Well, we're here once a month, and all the past episodes can be found at Endurance Ride. Just search up Endurance Ride on your podcast player, and you'll find just the Endurance episodes that we've done, and there's a lot of them in there. So you have some catching up to do. Otherwise, we'll see you again next month, which will probably be a little bit of pre-race coverage for Tevis.
Well, have a good ride, and wear your helmets, and be safe out there, everyone.